The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What do you hear? What team Orlovsky has as the biggest challenge to the Chiefs in the AFC? And I hate to tell you, I agree with him. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's one thing to start the season. Like, let's just remember how little Brady had with the Patriots last year. He doesn't have any weapons. That's all we heard, is Brady doesn't have any weapons. Now take those weapons away. What weapons? Exactly. Cam is working with much less than Brady, significantly on the defensive side of the ball. That's how the Patriots helped carry Tom Brady in recent years. And Brady, I don't want to overstate it, Brady was big when they needed him to be big. And he managed the game very well. It's not a dirty word to be a game manager. But the fact of the matter is, they had a really good defense. By some accounts, a great defense. Like, defenses aren't the way they used to be. You know, that ferocious front seven and they're sacking the quarterback all the time. Because of the vertical passing game, your secondary is of heightened importance, right? Versatile linebackers and stuff. The stuff that doesn't show up as flashy things like sacks, like in the old days, right? And by more advanced or kind of more modern ways of measuring defenses, last couple of years, the Patriots had a great defense. And to start the season, no Chung, no Hightower, and now no Gilmore. I mean, they just don't have the defense that they had last year. That's what Cam's dealing with. And then you talk about the offense, how Brady had nothing on offense. Edelman's a year older and banged up. N'Keal Harry is considered a bust at this point, considering who got picked after him, and he's not even available. Not last year, but in recent years, at least Brady had the security blanket of Gronk. Not there. Cam Newton's security blanket is a receiver named Jacoby Myers. That's his security blanket. Stephen A. on First Take always jokes about, like, not Jacoby and Myers. That was like an ambulance-chasing law firm back in the 80s. They used to have ads. I don't know if that was national, if that was just in New York. But it was Jacoby and Myers. I think their tagline was, it's like, it's about time? Could that be right? I mean, I'm recalling this from 30 years ago. But at any rate, but I'm like, yeah, if he had Jacoby and Myers, it would be better. Because that'd be two guys. He only's got one. Jacoby Myers, that's it. I mean, he's got nothing. Nothing. Now, in spite of that, two plays away from 5-3. He's 3-5, but you could flip that Seattle game and you could flip that Bills game with one play. Defense made a play on Cam in both cases. He came up short. He came up short against the Seahawks, goal line stand, Bobby Wagner, an elite of the elite linebackers in the NFL, makes a play. They stop Cam Newton on the goal line. Otherwise, that's a win against Seattle. And he gets stripped against the Bills. Otherwise, that's a win against the Bills. Two plays, 5-3, with wins against the Dolphins, Raiders, Bills, and Seahawks. But that's not what it is. It's 3-5. You are what your record says you are. And this was a win against the lowly Jets. However, and by the way, Cam Newton kind of screwed up down the stretch too. Let's be honest about it. However, since he doesn't get credit for Seattle or Buffalo, right? After all, he came up short in those huge high leverage moments on those plays. I keep saying, two plays, and he's 5-3 with all these wins. And everyone's like, yeah, but he didn't. He came up short. Tom Brady would make those plays. Well, let's say he would. He made the play against the Jets. Whatever you want to say. You had to get him in field goal range. He linked up with Jacoby Myers when they needed him to most on the last, second to last, penultimate play of the game. But his ultimate play He hits his receiver and puts him in field goal position. And they win. You got to give him credit. Like, I know it's the Jets. It's not even really an NFL team. I get it. Just consider how, and by the way, in the middle of all this, Cam had COVID. And we don't know what the lingering effects are. We do know he didn't play particularly well the week before he was diagnosed with COVID. Who knows when he got it? Nor has he played particularly well since then. But he did play very well starting the season, long before COVID, right? And don't forget, the Patriots facility was shut down because of COVID. For long stretches of time, they couldn't practice. So they lost talent on the defense, and the talent that remained is not available. They had no offensive talent to begin with, and they've lost that. And with all of this, they're 3-5, and I know Buffalo looks really good now. And by the way, so does Miami. Are you saying the Patriots are out of the playoffs? You sure? I don't know. That's the funny thing about the NFL. 16 games in a season, you just don't know. You say you change a play here, you change a play there, and this team that looks like, should they be tanking and getting Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence? All of a sudden, you're like, maybe they can make it out of the AFC. And if they can, who knows? The way Belichick can coach it up, they gave the Chiefs problems without Cam Newton. And the Chiefs got calls that really the Patriots should have gotten. And it was still a pretty good game for at least a half of football. Maybe Belichick, they ain't going to beat the Chiefs. I'm just saying. Cam Newton, you know who he's a lot like in certain respects, except he has a Super Bowl appearance and an MVP? Carson Wentz. Everyone's praising Carson Wentz. I'm destroying him, right? People are destroying Cam Newton. I'm kind of praising him. But they're both, at this moment, sort of middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks when you really look at it. Carson Wentz almost won an MVP, got hurt. His team won the Super Bowl. He wasn't available for it. Cam Newton won an MVP and got to a Super Bowl. And then he got hurt, like later years. But both have upper-end talent, lack consistency. Obviously, Cam's resume is much better than Carson Wentz. He ain't even that much older than Carson Wentz. Really, when you think about it. Not that much. Cam Newton on leading a comeback in the fourth quarter.
Well, a game like this, well, the last couple of games, it kind of builds character. And, you know, we did a great job with situational football, trailing at halftime, but just being resilient and, you know, just battling back as an offense, being able to still run the football, keeping everything within the wheelhouse of this offense. And, you know, for us to, you know, turn the opportunities into points, it's something that we've been harping on and working on all year, and for it to just show off today was just good. We just got to keep building on.
Know what I like about Cam, though? Early in his career, I talk about this. A good friend of mine used to say things about this following about, like, A-Rod and some other players around sports. They're so uncomfortable in their skin that when they start talking, when you listen to them, you get uncomfortable in yours. Like, oh, that just doesn't feel right. Ah, it doesn't sit. God, don't say that. You know, I don't know. Something about the way it's coming out. And Cam used to be one of those guys. Cam used to be a guy, you could see every question he ran through his head, like, how do I answer this? He couldn't answer it truthfully, because what he had to truthfully say, people didn't want to hear, he felt. So he had to think, what's the right thing to say? That's what it seemed like to me watching him. You know what it seems like to me watching him now? And this is why I think this is a great growth year for him under Belichick. He's just accountable. He just constantly sounds accountable. When he stinks, he say, I stink. When they lead a comeback against a bad team, he talks about it and makes the team feel good about it. He's accepted a lot of the responsibility. He's spread around the praise, you know. He has seemed to me to finally drink the Kool-Aid that guys like Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck, who he was often compared to early in his career because they were the number one picks in consecutive years, and in college it was like, who's going to be the better pro? I was sure it would be Andrew Luck. I was wrong. Cam had the better pro career, as it turns out. He's still playing. Luck is done. He's been to a Super Bowl. Luck never did. He won an MVP. Luck never did. But we have to welcome in Dan Orlovsky. Not have to. We get to welcome in Dan Orlovsky now. I was in the middle of a point. Just obliterated my point, Raj. leading up to something, masterfully constructing it step by step.
Well, one day you got to learn how to read that little clock over there to your left, and you'll notice.
Never mind the clock.
All right, fine.
That was Straight Talk Wireless. I have to get into my Cam Newton stuff later. No contract, no compromise. Dan Orlovsky. Dan, they're billing you as an ESPN's professional Max adversary. He's on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What's up, Dan?
Oh, I'd be one in a long list. It seems like you're arguing with someone again, other than me. So not a surprise.
No. Me
I'm excited to be with you. What's going on, man?
What's up? So I was just comparing Cam to to Carson Wentz. Except I think Cam takes more responsibility. He's more accountable. They're both big athletic quarterbacks. They both, you know, he won an MVP. Wentz never did, but he looked like he was on track to do it at one point. Cam's been to a Super Bowl. Wentz won one. Of course, Cam played in his. Wentz didn't play in his. They are both inconsistent. They're both capable of reaching great heights. But the difference is, Dan, I've heard Cam Newton sound really accountable in a way I never heard from him before. And it doesn't sound like he's trying to, like, say the right thing. It sounds like he's internalized the right thing, and it's just coming out of him when he talks. Whereas Carson Wentz, see, Raj, how I immediately shifted to Wentz because Dan's coming on and I'm going to start an argument. Carson Wentz stands up there and he's giving you quotes. I don't know if I'll ever know the fine line between when to eat it and when to try to extend the play. That's how we play football. That's how it is around here. You see that, Dan? No accountability from Wentz like with Cam. You see what I'm saying? He knows he's not going to get sat down. He's not going to get traded. He's saying, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. How do you answer for that, Dan Orlovsky?
Yeah, let me first talk about the Cam part of it. I don't think there's a player in the NFL that I've gained more respect and appreciation for this season than Cam Newton. And I actually believe he's unequivocally helped himself in his future in the NFL, because the transparency and the honesty and the accountability that he has had, that's exactly who I want in my building. Like, that's exactly who I want on my football team. For him to be an ex-number one pick and MVP and just to be that accountable has been incredibly refreshing, and I've gained just an immense amount of respect for him.
Yep,
now,
likewise.
That's also a different Cam. It's also a different Cam than we may have heard 5 years ago. And so you comparing Cam and Carson right now is different. Cam's older. He's more mature. He's experienced a lot more things. And so he's learned along the way, where Carson's really going through his first ever professional kind of at the crossroads. And I agree. And you heard me say this 2 weeks ago. Like, I'm sick and tired of Carson getting up there and saying the right stuff. Eventually, actions have to be louder than words. And so, you have an affinity for trying to go at Carson for, you know, the way he blows his nose. You know, you'll find anything.
Well, have you ever seen it? Disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. You'll find any way, but you can't compare them as players right
now.
Let
me tell you something, Dan. Let me show you how to blow your nose.
Comparison.
You ever watch Nick Foles blow his nose? That's the way you blow a nose. Not the way Wentz does it. The way Nick Foles does it. Dan, let me ask you something.
When you say this stuff, my mind actually goes to the stuff that comes out of your nose. It just goes to mucus. But
that's so disgusting.
You can't compare them as players right now. Wentz is a much better player right now.
Dan, you're not allowed to tell any more jokes on TV or the radio anymore after that one. Just awful. Listen, you said some really good stuff that I you know, like in the morning meeting today, I'm like, let me tell you guys something. You know what I think? I think the Bills are the biggest challenge to the Chiefs in the AFC. And everyone's like, it's what Orlovsky said. So I thought two things. One, okay, I'm on the right track. And two, damn it, I was going to come out and own this one. But apparently you beat me to it. Why are the Bills the biggest challenge to the Chiefs in the AFC, Dan?
I say, first of all, to beat the Chiefs, you're going to have to be explosive on offense. We know they're going to score. You're not going to stop them. You know they're going to have their 30-plus point game. So you have to have the ability to go be explosive on offense. They have that ability. With their three receivers, Beasley's so good, John Brown's a huge part, and obviously Diggs. Number two, you got to have a quarterback that can go above the X's and O's. You know, like, you're going to have plays that get called that are good schemes and good X's and O's, and sometimes the defense is going to win, especially when you play the Chiefs, because they got a good defense in Spags. You've got to have a quarterback that can go above that can see that and go, okay, I can go make a play with my feet, and I can extend, you know, two third downs this game gives us 4 to 5 minutes more of time of possession. That's one less possession for Kansas City. So that is absolutely huge. And then the three, you've got to have a coaching staff that has a very clear understanding of how to protect against the Chiefs and how to attack the Chiefs. All right, so defensively, what are we going to do? We're going to do a ton of zone pressures. We'll rush four, but from different areas, and keep our coverage. We're going to make you march down the field. They won't play a ton of man against Kansas City. And then against that defense, yeah, you want to spread them out, and you want to find the matchup against Sorensen. They're really third safety that plays on the field. Like, how many times can you throw at him is the goal, and I think the Bills have that staff to do it. So I think they're the best team. I don't think anyone's going to beat them, but I think they're the best team equipped to do it.
I agree. No one's going to beat the Chiefs, including the Bills. But let me tell you why. I think those are good reasons. Let me tell you why I'm thinking so, okay? Number one, Casey Joyner, the football scientist. I don't know if you're familiar with his work. You should be, Dan. I think you'd enjoy it. Came on this show and told me something that was ear-opening for me, which is Chiefs want to avoid shootouts. What? The Chiefs want to avoid shootouts. When Mahomes first came on the scene, they wanted shootouts. That's the only way they seemed like they could win. They don't get into a shootout with the Chiefs, right? Don't punch with a puncher in boxing. What do you mean they want to avoid shootouts? That's the way, really, the only way the other team has a shot to win. And they are above 500 in shootouts over the last couple of years, but not way above 500. They almost never lose any other kind of game. So I just saw the Bills beat the Seahawks in a game like that. And Russell Wilson has been earning his money this year winning shootouts. He's really the only quarterback in the league who's tasked, even more than Aaron Rodgers, every single week, go win a shootout. Just go out, score the other team. And he normally does it. But against the Bills, it's difficult because they can play defense. As you said, they have another X factor at quarterback. He had a little dry spell for about 3 or 4 games. But to start the season and recently, he looked like an MVP caliber player. And as you said, above and beyond the X's and O's, that's right, he's an X factor. And I agree with you also, they're well coached. But the fact that they can win a shootout, and they haven't been winning most games like that, they've been suppressing the score of the other team, really. But when they were faced with a team like that, they did it, and they looked very impressive. And when I looked up at the end of the third quarter and Russell Wilson had him within a score, I was like, wow, how did he do that? It feels like a blowout. So for that reason, I think the Bills have a good shot, especially the way the Patriots have fallen apart.
Yeah, I totally agree. And another team that I'd throw in there, Max, that I think – you know, they've done it once this year, and I don't believe it was a fluke, is the Raiders. You know, I think they're the best team in football that we're not talking enough about. And you talked about the shootout. It's a really good point. If you go back and recall that game, it was bombs away. That's how they beat the Chiefs. It was like big play after big play after big play. And that's why, like, Pittsburgh, I love. I think Pittsburgh's great. They can't create or generate enough big plays on offense. Tennessee, I love. I think they're great. I don't know if they could create enough, especially with their left side of their offensive line right now. And so that's why I think the Bills are just most equipped to get hot, like catch a game, right? You catch one game where Josh Allen, you know, was like, oh, my gosh, this dude's playing out of his face. They got the people to do it.
You know, the other team, it's funny you bring up the Raiders. We talked about this on First Take today. Who are the two teams that, like, there are two teams in the NFL that the country wants to be national teams, but frequently aren't because they're not good enough. Like Cowboys and Steelers since the 70s, those are national teams. Patriots, because they've come up in the world the way they have. I get it. Whoever's the hot team at the moment becomes a national. But the Raiders, you know, any excuse for the country to follow the Raiders, we will, right? And the Dolphins.
Sure.
But Miami has been bad for so long. But my pick for team that we're not talking enough about is Miami. Dan, they started last season. Is this the worst team in the history of the NFL? Have they quit on Flores? Is Flores going to keep his job? And by the end of the season, they beat the Patriots in a game the Patriots really needed to have. And since then, they're plus 500, and they had the moxie to sit the veteran quarterback who brought them to 500 and play the rookie against Aaron Donald and the Rams, and they're 2-0 since then? Oh, my God.
I'm with you, Max. I think that's a great call, and I was actually I had to go, like, kind of make it a public apology to the Dolphins this past week, because when they benched Fence, I was like, this is not the right move. Tua should just get healthy. You're winning football games. Like, you could go to the playoffs with Fitz. And then when I watched Tua, I haven't watched Tua play football in a year, right? And then when I watched Tua against the Rams, everyone was like, yeah, I didn't do anything. And I said, no, 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 no. There were 3 plays in that game in the fourth quarter that made me go, okay, Tua, like maybe you are fully healthy and ready to go do this. And maybe your offensive line isn't as bad as I kind of thought they were. And then when I watched that Arizona game, like you talk about a quarterback that is the traits carried over, like the laser quick release, the anticipation with the football, the ball placement, not accuracy, ball placement. You talked about that and watching it on display. Tua did that. And then that defense, I said this about 3 weeks ago, that is the best zero blitz package defense, meaning everybody's playing man coverage and you got everyone else blitzing.
Still get pressure.
It's New England.
Yep.
And it is a brutal defense. When it's run well, it is a brutal defense to have to plan for. So
Tua just beat two.
From now, Max, that team wins the division, I will not be shocked.
Tua just beat two plus 500 teams, both of them hot, both of them coming off big wins, and beat them both. And what you said, Dad, about the first game against L.A., here comes Aaron Donald on play one. You get body slammed. Get up. Don't try and do too much. And manage the team to a win. And then the next week, you're in a shootout with one of the hottest young quarterbacks on one of the hottest teams in the league and win that game too. It is very impressive. As is Dan Orlovsky, for my money, the best at breaking down tape on TV. Since we talked about the Raiders, John Gruden, himself.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Raj, does WWL refer to worldwide leader? Are you referring to us?
No, negative.
So what sound are we referring to here?
WWL. Oh, sound. Yeah.
Well, thanks to WWL for the sound. See that? That's how I did it. With Raj, you have to triple check just to make sure he's not going to have you say some crazy stuff. I'm like Anchorman. I'm like Will Ferrell in Anchorman. Whatever you put in the prompter, I'm going to read like an idiot. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Big Ben may miss some time after landing on the COVID list with three Steelers. The COVID list, by the way, the reserve, it means that you have been in contact with someone who may, like that. It's not necessarily that you have COVID. So what we hope, of course, is everyone gets tested, they're healthy. And absent that, like perfect health, if anyone does have COVID, we wish them a speedy recovery. You know, like that. What else can you say about that? And then you start to analyze the football of it all. If any team, if any coach is prepared to forge ahead with no excuses and still compete and win, it's Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. By the way, I never thought the Steelers, I still don't think they're not going to end up the season undefeated. They're not that kind of team. But they're in the middle of a really good season, and no, they don't blow out teams, but I talk about this in boxing sometimes, and it certainly applies to sports, team sports. Great offense against mediocrity is always going to be overrated. Mike Tyson, Felix Trinidad, the greatest show on turf, some baseball team that scores a million runs. You put them against a mediocre opponent, they're going to steamroll them because mediocrity has nothing to stave off great offense. So they get steamrolled. But mediocrity, let me rewind. If instead of being a great offensive team or fighter or whatever it is, tennis player, doesn't matter, you are well-rounded, then mediocrity appears to hang around for a while. A great well-roundedness is not going to look as spectacular, by definition, as great offense against mediocrity. Because the spectacular part comes from the scoring and the, you know, running up the score. It ain't going to happen. So the Steelers are a well-rounded team. Teams like that, fighters like that, when Bernard Hopkins finally fought Felix Trinidad, then you saw how great Hopkins was. Shut him out and knocked him out. But until then, up until that point in their career, you say, Trinidad's a much more impressive fighter than Hopkins. He was higher on pound-for-pound lists and stuff, right? And he fought and beaten good fighters, but not great ones. Hopkins was great. When the Patriots played the greatest show on turf, Of course the greatest show on turf is supposed to win. Patriots were doing it with spitting bubblegum, smoking mirrors. Greatest show on turf. Oh, my God. Kurt Warner and company, they're just destroying everyone. Because the Patriots could never show against mediocrity or normal teams how great they really were. They needed that Rams team to bring it out in them, right? So that you could really show. They could really show. That's what I suspect the Pittsburgh Steelers are, if it's the best version of the Steelers that we're seeing, right? Let's imagine the best version of what this team might be. If they're a great team, then they're a great team that's going to need other great teams to bring it out in them. They're not going to just like steamroll average teams. Nevertheless, I never thought that they were going to go undefeated this year. And so if they do lose Roethlisberger, let's say, or some other key player at some point to COVID, and as a result they lose a game or two, that's going to have little bearing ultimately on their season. It probably doesn't change the fact that they're going to lose some games. Nor, if it occurs right now, will it change ultimately their fortunes in the playoffs. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. See what's going on between Arians and Brady? Is there beef? Well, head coach Bruce Arians didn't directly say that Brady played poorly. He made several comments to indicate that Brady was a reason, at least, behind some of the Bucs' offensive issues on Sunday. Told reporters on Monday. Well, why don't you listen to what he told reporters on Monday?
The interception to AB, that was just a poor throw. The one to Chris read the right properly. Tom thought he was going deep. He stopped. Those things can happen sometimes when you're doing it on the run.
Mike Evans had just 17 targets combined in the last four games. He had 31 targets in the previous four. With him being the best receiver on this team, why isn't Byron making a more concerted effort of getting Mike involved in the passing game earlier?
Mike was open a bunch in that ball game. He just didn't get targeted. That's all. He was open. Mike was open.
Normally, I'd be like, what? What are you doing? But I got to say, I've seen Arians do this before. First game of the season, they lose to the Saints. It was ugly. They were bad. Brady was bad. And he said it. And some people would point to, like, it's the way Popovich could treat Tim Duncan or Belichick could treat Brady, right? If you could do that to your best player, to the leader, to the GOAT, who on the team could tell you anything? You're holding everyone accountable. But it's more than that with Arians, because recall, when Brady forgot how many downs there were at the end of the Bears game, Arians covered for him after the game. And then Brady deflected, and he never answered the question. He never admitted, yeah, I didn't know how many downs there were, even though clearly that was the case. It's not just that Arians is beating up on Brady. It seems to me so far, and it's still very early, he knows when to do what, like which buttons to push, when to back him up, when to hold him accountable publicly. And so far, the results have been good. The results were good after the Saints game. They were good after the Bears game. We got to see what happens after this game. But he's done it again. So far, I didn't give Arians the benefit of the doubt early, but based on the way the season's played out, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt now. Now, I may be very wrong. It may be that Brady jammed him with Antonio Brown, that Arians didn't want Antonio Brown. Who knows?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speaker. I can be reached at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
X. Max.
All right. I'm going to take some phone calls. No one believes I'm going to take phone calls anymore, Raj. But I'm going to take them. I'm going to show you right now. All I have to do is hit this little button right over here, and all the time is going to be on the line.
That's the way it works. Technology crazy.
Look at all
boy,
these people
crazy.
Waiting to talk. What might they be saying? They want to ask me questions, Raj, and I'm prepared to answer them. That's why I'm going to start taking the calls in this segment.
All you got to do is push that button. Just push that button.
Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Here it comes. Here it comes. I'm going to talk to Rob in Brooklyn. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Hi, Max. How you doing? That's not my question. Yesterday, and all credit to Cam for pulling off that comeback, but it seemed to me that there was a really crucial play for the Jets, and that was the first down interception in the fourth quarter after the Pats had held the ball for a while. I thought at least you'd want to give your defense a chance to catch a breath before you had to go back out on the field and defend against Cam again. It looked to me like that throw was called in by the coach and that Flacco didn't have much choice on it. I was wondering what you thought about that, and is this just another nail in Gase's coffin as Jets coach?
Here's the question. Why is Gase still the coach of the Jets? Does anyone believe he's going to turn it around? Does anyone? Is anyone like, yeah, Adam Gase, he's a great coach? No one believes that. Why? Guys, it started, I hate to say it, because like some things everyone piles on you like, yeah, but you don't know the circumstance. Think of what he looked like at his introductory press conference. Raj, do you remember how many people at in L.A. wanted Sark back as coach
to be
the head coach of SC, right?
Yeah.
And do you remember that first press conference?
Ooh, I remember.
He was going through difficulties in his personal life at the time, and he appeared to be inebriated pretty obviously. And sometimes, like, it's an easy thing. Well, you don't know what happened. Sometimes, it's easy to pile on, and it's not really what's going on. And other times, what you see is real. That press conference was the weirdest thing I'd seen as an intro. You're going to introduce yourself to the public this way as the new coach? But the Gase press conference was comparable in the sense that, like, his behavior was bizarre. You know, the way he was opening up his eyes and, like, looking around and making faces that didn't seem to correspond to what was going on. And it's all been downhill since then. What the hell's the matter with me? Kyle in Cincinnati, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how's it going, man? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, enjoy the show a lot. Hey, what do you think the likelihood of the Bengals going at least 4-4 in the next eight?
I got to look up their schedule. Do you have their schedule in front of you?
They've got Pittsburgh twice, Baltimore once.
Uh-oh.
They've got Dallas,
uh-huh,
the Giants, Washington, Miami. Dallas, Giants, Washington.
All right,
Miami.
I got it in front of me now. Steelers is going to be a loss. Washington can be a win. The Giants, you got to beat teams like the Giants if you want to go 4-4 if you're the Bengals. But I tell you what, the Giants are playing better and better. That's like a pick 'em type game. The Dolphins, I'd make the Bengals underdogs in that game. Steelers again. Texans is a winnable game, but the Bengals are not very good. They'd have to play well. I would say the odds are under 50-50 that they go 4-4. Here's the good news for the Bengals. By the way, that was Kyle. Just hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Here's the good news for the Bengals. The whole shooting match. Do you have a quarterback? Do you have a quarterback, yes or no? Bengals got a quarterback. You got the right coach? Remains to be seen. You got a quarterback. RJ in North Carolina. Oh, no more. No more calls. I'm not allowed to take any more. Raj took so long getting to the calls. See, you think that's a funny joke, Raj, before, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get to the calls.
Yeah.
And now we've run out of time.
Sorry, callers.
See what you did? Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Apologize to America, Raj. What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry, America.
News from Max Kellerman Nation, Raj. Everyone just called us and hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Did Cam turn it around last night against the lowly Jets? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.